Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website classicfm.com. Question number one. The Japanese word karaoke comes from a phrase meaning what? Is it A, empty orchestra, B, DIY, as in do it yourself? Is it C, blended singing, or is it D, loud greeting, karaoke? What phrase in Japanese does that word refer to? Question number two. The Romantic period piano virtuoso and composer Franz Liszt was so popular in the mid-1800s that he was treated like a rock star. What did he do to appease his adoring fans? Did he A, buy a dog and sent fur clippings to fans requesting locks of his hair? Was it B, he tossed scarves to screaming fans during concert? Was it C, wrote long letters of appreciation to every corresponding fan? Or was it D, organized banquets for his fans after each concert? Franz Liszt, known for such compositions as Hungarian Rhapsody and Liebestraum, Love Dream, what did he do to appease his adoring fans? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of October the 16th. Well, it was on this day back in 1954 that Elvis Presley made his first radio appearance on the Louisiana Hayride. 1954, today. And it was 53 years ago today, 1967, that the musical Hair premiered at New York's Public Theater. The show ran for 1,758 performances. 1967, today. And in country music news, we have this article entitled, Reba McEntire and Darius Rucker to host CMA Awards. Save the date! The show will broadcast live from Nashville on November the 11th. This is written by Allison Bonaguro and published on the 5th of October 2020 in CMT.com. I'm thrilled to be back hosting the CMA Awards, and even more thrilled that I get to share the stage with Darius Rucker, McEntire said. We're looking forward to a night of celebrating great country music and hope you'll tune in and watch. It sounds like the feeling is mutual for Rucker. I look forward to the CMA Awards every year because of the incredible performances and the opportunity to celebrate the year in country music. To be invited to host this year's awards alongside Reba, Rucker said, are you kidding me? It is an absolute honor. Even though this year will look a little different from normal, I know that we'll all be eager for a night of musical celebration, and this year's show definitely won't disappoint. This will be Rucker's first time as host and McIntyre's fifth time. The show will air live from Nashville's Music City Center. The CMA Entertainer of the Year nominees for 2020, by the way, include Eric Church, Luke Combs, Miranda Lambert, Carrie Underwood, and Keith Urban. Awards are also given for such awards as Female Vocalist of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, Vocal Group of the Year, Vocal Duo of the Year, New Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Single of the Year, and Song of the Year. And in classical music news, we have this article entitled 20 Downright Bizarre Classical Music Facts. This is published in ClassicFM.com, October 2020. Besides the two bizarre facts used in today's musical trivia questions, here are some additional interesting details about classical music as displayed in this article. For example, the tension of the 230-odd strings in a grand piano exert a combined force of 20 tons on the cast iron frame. There are two skulls in Haydn's tomb. His head was stolen by phrenologists, and a replacement skull was put in his tomb. And in 1954, the real skull was restored, but the substitute was not removed. According to his boast, Don Giovanni seduced 1,001 Spanish, 640 Italian, 231 German, 100 French, and 91 Turkish women. The London Symphony Orchestra was booked to travel on the Titanic's maiden voyage, but they changed boats at the last minute. Baritone Leonard Warren died on stage at the Met in 1960, just as he had finished singing Verdi's To Die a Momentous Thing. Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin sang a Shostakovich song, My Homeland Hears, over the radio on his first space mission. During a performance of Boris Godunov at Sydney Opera House, a chicken fell off the stage and onto a cellist. The most expensive opera costume of all time was worn by Adelina Patti at Covent Gardens in 1895. It was worth £15 million. And finally, Domenico Scarlatti composed his Cat Fugue after his cat, Pulcinella, walked across his keyboard. So weirdness and eccentricity are not just associated with musical personalities in contemporary rock, country, and jazz genres. It may be characteristic of all forms of musical genius and creativity throughout all of history. Music news, we have this article entitled Band's Pandemic Diversion Leads to Every Night Gig in the Park. This is written by Kathy Willens and Emily Leshner and published in the News and Observer on the 11th of July, 2020. New York. What started as a way for two musicians to get out of the house during the pandemic has turned into nightly concerts at the Boathouse in Brooklyn's Prospect Park, which fans who expect them to play 3 to 4 hours a night, 7 nights a week. The musicians accustomed to playing their Haitian roots and jazz music in bars and restaurants that had been shuttered or limited to takeout by the lockdown couldn't be happier. One day I came here with my guitar and out of nowhere, just to get some fresh air. And people just started coming over, and then they were like, oh, thank you. And then it took a life of its own, said Alegba Dayeli, leader of the Alegba and Friends. Dayeli, a Haitian raised in New York who plays guitar, drums, and bass, recalled a woman who cried at one concert. You made my day, she told him. It's been a terrible week for me and my family. Listening to you singing, I felt the joy. I found a little bit of serenity, of peace to my day. It was then, Jayeli said, that I decided that every day I would come here. Classically trained saxophone player Mark Krasuski has played with Jayeli for more than a year. But Krasuski, who was busking for tips in Central Park last September, can't believe the group's good fortune. Initially, when we started, it was just us playing. We were just practicing and jamming and having fun with it, he said. Every once in a while, we'd end a song and we'd notice people were clapping. Alegba quickly realized that the Prospect Park Bookhouse would be a better spot than the park entrance, where people had no place to sit. Prospect Park is Central Park's lesser-known outer borough sister, designed as well by Frederick Law Olmsted. With so many people out of work, with no school, no camp, and for most, no vacation homes to escape to, the park has become a daily escape. On weekdays, it's as crowded as Memorial Day or July 4, especially in the early evening with the group performs. Situated on what's known as the Low Water, a winding park waterway, the Beaux Arts-style 1905 boathouse has steps that are good for sitting. It's also adjacent to a grassy hill where people can bring children and dogs, spread blankets, plop down lounge chairs, and picnic while listening to the music. I think everyone just kind of needs that literal breath of fresh air, said one fan, Jackie Padilla. But also, just hearing them reminds you that it's still summertime and we still can be a community. And in music research and technology, we have this article entitled Voice Assist. This is written by Sonia Collins and published in WebMD, February 2020. Brian LeBlanc learns to manage his Alzheimer's with the help of his AI-driven personal assistants. 5 years after he learned he had Alzheimer's disease, Brian LeBlanc, now 59, continues to blog about life with the disease, speak at conferences, play in a band, and live independently. He credits his diet, exercise, and active schedule with the slow progress of the disease. An estimated 5.8 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. People living with the condition eventually rely on others for their care as the condition progresses. But artificial intelligence, AI, could help some care for themselves longer. For LeBlanc, he gives a nod to his AI-driven personal assistants, though he jokingly calls them his girlfriends, Siri and Alexa. He tells us how they assist him in his daily life. How did you get the idea that Siri and Alexa might be helpful to you? Well, I have always been a techie person, even before I had Alzheimer's. I use my phone for everything. Now I need reminders for so many things, so I tried out the little one, the Amazon Echo Dot, and I thought, if she can do all of this, what's the big one going to be like? So I ramped up that one. Now my Facebook followers tell me that they are using it for themselves or their parents. What does Alexa remind you to do? She reminds me to take my medication, to eat 3 times a day, to bathe every day. I'm also diabetic, so I need reminders to give myself insulin shots. When I put in laundry, I tell her to remind me to check it in 45 minutes. I can tell her to remind me at 1 o'clock to get ready for my speaking engagement at 2:30. And every day at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., she reminds me to play music. If I'm not home, I get the reminders as a text message. Why do you have her remind you to play music? Well, on my foggy days, I'm actually lifts of fog. I have listened to songs that I hadn't heard in 40 years, and I still knew every word. It's another weapon in my arsenal that I use to fight this thing. It touches a part of you that was locked away. Music comes along and says, "Here's a key. Open it up and see what happens." Even if you don't have dementia, if you're feeling down in the dumps, put on Casey and the Sunshine Bands, shake your booty, and see if you don't come to life. Music gives you a happiness that you never could have come up with on your own.
So much time wasted.
Lenny Kravitz, "It Ain't Over Till It's Over," introduces our rock music news. It's entitled "Lenny Kravitz on Loving Lisa Bonet and Writing a Book." In a new memoir, the pop rock icon opens up about the tapestry of forces that shaped him. This is written by Lee Haber on the 1st of October, 2020, in OprahMag.com. Lenny Kravitz was exposed to a wealth of culture throughout his childhood, but it was the diverse influences of his mother, a black actor, father, a white Jewish journalist, and grandparents that produced a singular talent. Let Love Rule is part one of Kravitz's memoir, in which he chronicles his coming of age as an artist from his home in the Bahamas, an Airstream and an adjacent shack. The Grammy-winning musician and first-time author spoke to us. In Manhattan, then in California, people like Sammy Davis Jr. and Taj Mahal were swirling around. But your first musical epiphany came when you were in junior high and heard Black Dog by Led Zeppelin. Well, we just moved to L.A. after my mother, Roxy Roker, got cast in the Jeffersons. Until then, I mostly listened to R&B, jazz, soul, and gospel. Not so much rock and roll. At the time, I was hanging around all these surfer, skateboarder kids in Santa Monica whose parents were hippies. They listened to Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, Kiss, Cream, The Who. That's when I fell in love with the electric guitar. The way it sounded, the way it looked, the attitude. It was while listening to Led Zeppelin IV that it all hit me at once, how deep their music was. That changed my life. My ears, my mind, my soul were open. It opened a portal. After that, it was all about me getting an electric guitar and learning how to emulate those sounds. Article skips down, ends with this. What did you want to express when you wrote the song Let Love Rule, which is also the title of your book? Well, no matter what our differences, the final outcome between people must be love. It's easy to love you when everything is fabulous, when you're treating me the way I feel you should. It's when things go wrong that we have to dig deep. Let Love Rule should be our anthem right now. Who wants to be in a world full of me's? I want the bouquet.
Bye.
Time Is On My Side introduces our local music news. It's an article entitled, He's One of Charlotte's Most Powerful CEOs. He also sings and wears sunglasses at night. This is written by Theoden James on the 8th of October 2020 in the Charlotte Observer. There is a scenario in which Gene Woods might never have been willing to out himself as a musician. A scenario in which a social justice-minded blues song he wrote decades ago, while he was working his way through school by playing in various bands in State College, Pennsylvania, was lost and forgotten forever, in which no one would have ever seen him wearing a fedora and sunglasses at night in a glossy high-end music video. In fact, for a long time, the man responsible for leading a healthcare system with more than 50 hospitals and 65,000-plus employees was hesitant to be seen holding a guitar in public, largely because he didn't want people to think he was doing it out of vanity. I was actually doing my music thing on one side and really not bringing it to any sort of professional circle, says Woods, who has been president and CEO of Charlotte-based Atrium Health since 2016. But there was something about this moment, something about what I felt I needed to speak to, and this was a great way to do that. The result was the creation of a video this summer and powerful calls across the country for social justice, for his dusted-off and now new-again song, Not Enough Joy, which opens with these lines, Your brother is in chains, we should all feel the iron. Your sister burns with pain, we should all feel the fire. When is it ever going to stop? And since taking the leap in late August, the 56-year-old Woods is charging ahead with plans for more music, all of which begs the question, how serious about this side gig is he going to get? Sometime this winter, he hopes he will release a 15-song album. It's just sort of my mental health therapy, he says. I'm recording this for the love of music in and of itself. That's really my only goal. What I've shared with other colleagues, other CEOs, is don't be afraid to pursue that creative side. If you're a painter, do that. If you're a writer, do that. If you're into spoken word, do that. If you play music, do that. Because I think it's healthy, he continues, as an outlet, given what we're dealing with in our communities and our country, especially now. But also I think it makes you a better leader. And I think people want to see leaders that are authentic and human, now more than ever. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, the Japanese word karaoke comes from a phrase meaning what? Is it A, empty orchestra, B, DIY, as in do-it-yourself, C, blended singing, or D, loud greeting? And the correct answer, answer A, empty orchestra. As noted in a Polygon.com 8/28/18 article titled The History of Karaoke by Frank Allegra, singing for a crowd of strangers is a 50-year-old pastime. It began in Japan in the late 1960s. We've all been there. It's a Saturday night and the bar has gotten just crowded enough that no one's listening, everyone's standing around, nary a chair to sit on. The tenor of the room, that deafening noise that feels almost like a safety blanket, gives you courage you may never have had otherwise. You stand up on a small platform, you're handed a microphone, and then, baby, you belt your heart out. Sources say that Every Breath You Take is now the most popular karaoke song, replacing You've Lost That Lovin' Feeling, which had been at the top for the past 22 years. And by the way, there are at least three karaoke bars in Raleigh, including the Ugly Monkey Party Bar. Nowadays, though, you can download your own app for Android and iPhone's use, such as the app Sing Karaoke. And the answer to our second question, the Romantic period piano virtuoso and composer Franz Liszt was so popular in the mid-1800s that he was treated like a rock star. What did he do to appease his adoring fans? Did he buy a dog and send fur clippings to fans requesting locks of his hair? B. Toss scarves to screaming fans during concerts? C. Wrote long letters of appreciation to every corresponding fan? Or D. Organized banquets for his fans after each concert? Correct answer, Franz Liszt, known for such compositions as Hungarian Rhapsody and Liebestraum, Love Dream, appeased his adoring fans by buying a dog and sending fur clippings to fans seeking locks of his hair. Answer A. As noted in an October 22, 2011 NPR All Things Considered article titled How Franz Liszt Became the World's First Rock Star, when you think of rock and roll, Franz Liszt might not be the first name that comes to mind, but the classical pianist born 209 years ago today was in many ways the first rock star of all time. In the mid-19th century, Liszt was tearing up the polite salons and concert halls of Europe with his virtuoso performances. Women would literally attack him, tear bits of his clothing, fight over broken piano strings and locks of his shoulder-length hair. It was a phenomenon the great German poet Heinrich Heine dubbed Litzomania. We hear about women throwing their clothes onto the stage and taking his cigar butts and placing them in their cleavages, says Stephen Hoff, a world-renowned concert pianist. Liszt was someone who, like a great speaker, was able to capture an audience. Before Franz Liszt, no one thought a solo pianist could hold anyone's attention, let alone captivate an audience. So let's close out today's program with Franz Liszt's Love Dream, Liebestraum, number 3 in A flat major. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.